That was Thought for the Day with Tim Stanley. The time now is 12 minutes to 8.
Deeply worrying and in need of a rethink. That is how the BMA, the British Medical Association, the Doctors' Union, has reacted to the news that the NHS is to spend £330 million in England, creating a huge new patient data platform to bring together information on the number of beds available in a hospital, the length of their waiting list, staff rosters and the like, all apparently to help improve NHS efficiency. We'll hear the case for it in just a moment. But the reason it's controversial is because they've hired a controversial US company to provide that software. Palantir is best known for working with the military and intelligence agencies, and critics fear that it simply can't be trusted with confidential patient data. Here's Dr. David Wrigley, digital lead of the BMA's GP committee, who's worried about exactly how that data will be used.
That erodes the trust in the doctor-patient relationship, and it really makes us concerned as doctors that patients might not be as quite open with us as they were once that data goes onto the computer. The other aspect is around the funding, and there's hundreds of millions of pounds, astronomical sums of money being spent on software, on hardware, at a time when the NHS is desperate for cash. We're trying to negotiate some extra funding for general practice, and we've been told by the Treasury there's absolutely no funding whatsoever. So then for colleagues to see hundreds of millions of pounds spent like this on a large American private company, it really does put question marks into our minds.
Well, let's see if Dr. DeWalker, who's head of transformation at NHS England, can answer that question mark. Good morning to you, Dr. DeWalker.
Good morning.
Let's begin with the purpose of all this. Why spend hundreds of millions of pounds on a new bit of computer kit?
Yeah, thank you. So first thing is, we all know that the NHS has data in different systems which don't talk to each other, and that frustrates staff and it frustrates patients. It means that our staff spend time trying to connect information up on the phone or in meetings, trying to coordinate data. And what this software does is it helps connect that data up in a single place, which enables you to coordinate care much better. So, for example, over the last year, we've been piloting similar software in different trusts around England, and the results are actually really, really impressive. So in trusts, 2,500 more patients have been seen in the year after the software was implemented. Theatres have become 6% more productive, which means that more patients can be operated on.
So are you saying this is a case of invest to save? Yes, you're spending a lot of money, but you will save money in the process.
Yeah, so we all know that technology in the NHS frustrates staff and it frustrates patients. This is an investment in technology, which will help us treat more patients and bring waiting times down, B, reduce delays in patients who are able to be discharged from hospital, and thirdly, make staff lives easier.
Yet we've heard it all before, haven't we? So many times the NHS has invested vast sums in computer projects that have had to be abandoned. Just a few years ago, care.data was going to bring all that data together, and it was abandoned because it couldn't guarantee patient confidentiality.
Well, firstly, let me just say this is something completely different. What we have procured is a software license for each trust in England. So the data is completely under the control of the NHS trust where you are receiving your care. That has not changed. And what it enables people to do is coordinate care better to create benefits for patients.
Are you saying that's different from care.data? In other words, it's not a national system in that sense?
It's completely different. What we have done is procured a license for each trust in England. Now, it also will help us, for example, not just bring down waiting lists and also to reduce delays for patients being discharged from hospital. It'll also do things like help us run the vaccination campaign for COVID and for flu. So really important things for the NHS and really important things for your listeners and for members of the public.
Sure, but what is also really important for them is their confidentiality as patients. Now, you can't anonymise medical data, says the former Conservative Minister David Davis. It's too rich. You just can't do it. Is that right?
No. So firstly, that is fundamentally wrong.
And because?
Firstly, the data remains completely under control of the NHS, particularly the NHS where you receive your care. So
I think that's not his point, though, is it? His point is that once you know quite a lot of detail about somebody's medical condition, it doesn't take a lot to join the dots and find the person.
So firstly, staff who are employed by the company providing the software will not be able to see the data without the permission of the NHS. Secondly, we've also procured separate privacy-enhancing software from a completely different company so that you get a double layer of protection, which allows you to, A, completely de-identify data where that's necessary. And secondly, you've got an audit trail of who has had access to the data and when they had access to the data.
Will you be able to opt out?
So personal identifiable data will only be available to people working in the trust where you are receiving your care, exactly as that is at the moment. And so, you know, if you're a patient receiving care in a hospital, you would want your care to be more efficiently dealt with by better information systems. Now, we have been engaging closely with patients. The Patients Association jointly authored a blog, which is published on our website, expressing support for this federated data platform. And also on our website, for members of the public who want to ask questions, we've got frequently asked questions. You can ask questions.
Well, one of those frequently asked questions was the one I just asked you. Will you be able to opt out?
So there's two different things here. Firstly, for direct care in the hospital or community trust or mental health trust where you're receiving your care, you would not want to opt out of data, your data being used to manage your care more effectively.
But you say you wouldn't want to. You might want to, but you're telling me you can't.
No, so you would not be able to opt out, but if you're concerned about the way in which the hospital is using your data, you should talk to the hospital. So,
I'm sorry to push you on this, but it's a simple yes-no. Can you opt out or can't you opt out of your data being used?
You cannot opt out of your data being used in the hospital or community trust or mental health trust where you're receiving your care.
So, but beyond that?
You cannot opt out, but if you have concerns, you can ask questions. You cannot opt out, but you can ask questions.
No, but what's the point of asking a question unless you can opt out? Can you opt out of that data being shared beyond the region or the trust in which you're being treated?
Yeah, so there's a completely separate thing, and it's really important not to get confused about this, called the National Data Opt-Out. And for that, you can opt out of your data being used for research. But this software is not being used for research. It's being used to care for patients better.
Understood. Now, can you deal with the last concern that people have, or the most prominent one for many, actually, is this company, Palantir. It is a company known for its work in intelligence, in defence. Its founder actually said publicly he thought the NHS was an organisation that made people sick and should be privatised.
So what we did was, firstly, we went out to a public procurement. So all of that was conducted legally. It has to comply with all our procurement laws in the UK. It has to comply with all our data protection laws in the UK. And part of that procurement exercise also means assessing each of the companies that bid for this contract under very clear standards. Now, those bids were assessed by 30 different people. Each person assessed only part of the bid, so there was no single person that had influence over the bid. And then the company was chosen by aggregating all of those scores up in order to choose the company that provided the best software to deal with what we're
understood. And it's clear that you're excited about its potential as well. So Dr. Vim DeWalker, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. Head of Transformation there at NHS England.
Time now is 3 minutes to 8. We can hear about the day.